What is up, party people?
We got Brother Pete.
Hey, everybody.
And as always, we got Brother Sean.
Hello, hello, hello.
Nice to be back. Always like being in the studio.
I miss being in the studio. We got to get together for something soon.
Yeah. Even just
I
a hangout. It's been a while.
still have your I still have your Christmas gift.
The
So,
Christmas gift,
I got
the
a
wedding
wedding gift. I
gift,
got a
yeah.
Christmas gift. I got a lot of shit to give
We
you. It's
gotta
piling up.
well, we haven't gotten together since what? Christmas, right?
Well,
Well, the
yeah,
wedding.
well, since your
Well, the
wedding,
wedding,
yeah.
yeah, but I mean
But
like here.
I didn't want to bring anything to you that you were going to have to bring back. So,
Yeah, we gotta figure something out for sure. How you guys doing?
chilling.
Yeah,
Like a
good.
villain.
Well, not that chill, but I mean, I'm pretty chill.
Anything new in your lives outside of movies and news and what you've been watching?
Just got back from the lovely state of Missouri.
Ah,
Oh,
Missouri.
yeah, Missouri.
Yeah, I was there for a hot second, and I got one local St. Louis beer from Urban Chestnut Brewing, which was pretty good. They made a pretty fine pilsner.
Okay.
I thought you were gonna say Budweiser.
No, I didn't. I didn't have any Budweiser.
Is Missouri the show me state?
I think it is.
What do they have to show? Just like St. Louis,
The Arch.
Kansas City. Yeah, I actually I that Kansas City thing always confuses me.
Yeah.
I did see the Arch while I was there.
That's rad.
It was like an hour long wait or hour long ride, and I didn't really feel like doing that, so I just looked at it.
I would like to visit their ballpark.
Yeah, I did. I went to a barbecue place right across the street from the ballpark, which was pretty cool. Some damn fine barbecue
Can imagine.
and a nice looking ballpark.
All right. Nothing to note over here, but we can get into some episode beers. Who wants to kick it off tonight?
I will. I got about a 45 minutes to an hour north of me, Begley's Brew Works, Allentown, Pennsylvania.
Ah, vaguely.
I've been to the brewery a couple times actually. It's like a really nice like brewery restaurant. Really big. They've got an event space upstairs. You can rent out the whole place if you want to. This is bourbon barrel aged Insidious Imperial Stout. It's all the I's crossing the T's, dot the lowercase J's. Ale aged in bourbon barrels. It is 9%. Comes in a four pack.
Is Fegley's the one that's right on there, like Main Street? I'm trying to
Yes.
think, because we went there, I think right before seeing Brand New a couple of years ago.
What did you see him at the Croc Rock?
No, is that whatever the stadium is in Allentown?
Oh, okay. I was gonna say, because I think the Croc Rock is like was the only venue I knew of in Allentown, and that's closed now, I think. I saw Cannibal Corpse there.
Hey.
But yeah, it's right there on the main drag. Last time I was there was right before my cousin's wedding. Davis and I were just killing time in the afternoon because we had been there for the night before, like rehearsal dinner kind of thing. We went there and had beers at like 10:30 a.m.
As one
Yeah.
does.
Yep.
I forget. I don't remember what the venue is there. PNC? No, not PNC. Was more of a stadium than a concert venue.
Is definitely very boozy, booze forward. I can taste it. But that's what you get with a bourbon barrel aged
Yeah,
beer.
there's barrel-aged ones. But they're nice though, especially on a cold night.
Yeah, I wish I had a glass up here in my bedroom, but I actually have like a million beer steins, but they're all
A little dusty.
dusty
Sean,
roads.
What do you got?
Hard Times Blues.
Sean, what do you got?
Oh, sorry. I have a house guest, so I was trying to keep myself on mute so I'm not mucking up the recording. But I have I picked up, well, I wasn't drinking for most of last week, but I figured I'd get a beer for tonight. This is from Sullivan's Brewing Company out of Kilkenny, Ireland. So in honor of the holiday at the end of the week, I got their Maltings Irish Ale.
Yeah, I didn't think of that. I should have got something. Should have got something Irish.
I figured I'd get something a little festive. Mm. Ooh. It's an Irish ale. It's good. It's definitely boozy. It's only 5%, but a little surprisingly boozy for a 5%er.
All right.
Yeah, nice can though. I like this.
I went with a foe of the Irish. At least in the beer's name. I have a bottle tonight. It's a English dark mild called Frail. Real handsome, classy label art on it. It's from Lua Brewing out of Iowa. Looks like they mostly, I don't think I've had anything from the brewery before. It looks like they mostly do dark beers. But I tell you what, I love a dark English mild, pale English mild. Bitters, English bitters, extra special bitters. Like, I just love that style. Especially when it's on nitro or cast, like, it doesn't matter what it is, I'm getting it.
When I was in Scotland, and I'll probably never see the beer again unless I go back over there and find this same pub. But, I mean, my brother and I, we had a show, you probably heard stories, but we had a good time, the two of us. Because I was 19 and I could drink over there and everything, but we were in this pub and it was actually in the bottom of the inn we were staying at, and we were the last two people there, and we're just like, and they had a hand crank cask, and I was just like, what's that all about? And the guy just like taps it nicely with his hand. He's like, this little baby will put you to sleep. And I was just like, all right. And it just had like, all it had was the label was just a picture of Nessie. So yeah.
That's cool. I actually was, last week I went to this place called Teresa's Next Door in Wayne outside of Philadelphia. And they have a hand crank. They had a, on cast, the Trogues Double Nectar, and it was phenomenal on cast, like so good.
Yum.
Yeah.
The one place in Doylestown, Mom's, I don't go there that often just because, like, no one's really around here anymore, and, you know, if I'm going to go there, I'm going to take an Uber and everything, and ends up being like a $100 night just in Ubers, but, They always have something on cask, which is cool. They're like the craft beer bar in Doylestown. Although even everybody has craft beers, but they have a pretty extensive menu.
Yeah. All right, let's get into some topics here. Let's start with news.
Yeah.
What do we got?
I saw that Smile 2 has been greenlit.
Yep. Which?
Oh yeah, I did see that.
I guess I'm excited for that.
Did they give any idea what direction they're going to go with that?
No, nah, it was very little information.
Bloody Disgusting says they literally just like put the ink on the contract that it's happening. So
yeah, I wonder if they would go prequel or try to do a sequel, because you could really go either way.
Yeah, usually when they do prequel, well, you know, they could certainly change it. Right now all it says is Smile 2, but you know, normally when they do, if they make it a prequel, it'll call like called Smile the
Awakening,
the winking, or the smirk. Smile the smirk. but yeah. I still haven't seen the two sequels to X.
The second sequel, the third one didn't come out yet, but I think it's about to.
Okay.
Springtime. But Pearl's good. I'm sure Jeff, I'm sure Jeff's a big fan.
There was some other news, because that's Mia Goth. Wasn't she in X? And I don't know if she was in Pearl, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But they're, I saw they're, Guillermo del Toro is going to do a Frankenstein story for Netflix.
Correct.
And they're trying to get Mia Goth, and I actually didn't even take notes. There was a couple other people that like big names that they're trying to bring on that.
She's been on fire.
Andrew Garfield.
I forget. As Dr. Frankenstein, that would be good.
Yeah, I can't remember. The third one was definitely someone that would play the monster, but I can't remember who it was.
No, that's interesting, though. I'd be interested to see Guillermo del Toro do a true rendition of Frankenstein.
Is he producing it or directing it?
I don't know that there's... Oh, I think he's just trying to get it made. I don't know that there was a whole lot of details yet.
So yeah,
he's probably just producing it, yeah.
Yeah, just producing it, yeah. Yeah, but I wouldn't be mad.
Did you guys ever watch his Cabinet of Curiosities on Netflix?
No.
I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, it's on my list.
I just started watching it today, actually, and the first one was pretty good. It was with the dude from A Brother, Where Art Thou? And Buster Scruggs. What the hell is his name? You know what I'm talking about?
John Turturro?
No, the other one.
George Clooney?
Steve Buscemi?
No, Tim Blake Nelson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's one of those guys that like you know him all of the time for the shit that he does, but I don't know his name. Yeah, Tim Blake Nelson. He was in it. It was a good story, and I'm interested to watch the rest of them.
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro does some good stuff, and brilliant stuff, and he just won an Oscar for his Pinocchio movie, which I haven't gotten around to watching yet.
Yeah, I keep hearing it's great.
It's a tough watch. Yeah, it's like a tough thing to like get myself pumped up for, though. The only reason I haven't watched it yet.
Yeah, is it claymation or stop motion?
Stop motion.
It's actually stop motion.
Okay.
With some like animation included, but like I saw him bring the Pinocchio character, or no, the Geppetto character, onto one of the late night shows, and it's pretty wild. Like, and it has like things within it, like it can blink its eyes and like just at a push of a button on it, blinks its eyes, moves its arms, like it's pretty high end technology. But yeah, congratulations to him. I mean, I'm a fan. Shape of Water was a really great movie back
then,
like
movie. Yeah.
4 or 5 years ago. Oscars, you know, they were decent. We were texting back and forth. Sean and Vinny and I were texting back and forth and during it, and my general consensus is that it was kind of a weak year. The movies I watched, I mostly enjoyed, but like nothing really blew me away like in years past. Maybe that's just me. I mean, I'm an artsy film guy too, but
no, I agree with you, especially what you said. Like the movies themselves like weren't that noteworthy, but there were some really good performances.
Yeah.
That's funny because there was movies I liked this year. I didn't really get all the hype for Everything Everywhere All at Once, even though I thought the movie was good. I did enjoy it, but
I did not like that movie. I was very
overhyped.
I mean, to win 7, I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I was happy Jamie Lee Curtis won.
Yep.
Especially her, you know, dedication and ode to genre fans that she did in her speech. That was cool.
Yeah, I wish she had apologized for Halloween Ends, but yeah. Whatever. Because they actually, it was like right as she was going up stage, they were like, most recently she produced and starred in Halloween Ends.
Like, yeah. Even Steph was like, oh no, don't use that.
One of a standout performance for me, and we talked about the other night, was Tar. Is a really interesting movie, and I thought she acted really well in it, and I think everyone else acted really well in it. It's just like it's a movie that like I don't. It's the kind of movie like I don't know if I should recommend to people, but not that it's bad. But it's just like it's a subject matter of like, you know, a person who's like breeding, what do they call it, grooming. And yeah. Like where they're abusing people that are their underlings and whatever. So it's like, you know, it's a woke movie kind of. The difference that they make in it is that it's a lesbian taking advantage of like younger women in her orchestra instead of a man. But it's all the same, you know, it's covering all the same topics. But Cate Blanchett's, she's a one of the greatest living actresses as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, she was really good in that.
We don't need to get too much further into the Oscars. It's kind of a little boring, but unless anybody else has something to say about it.
I really liked The Fabelmans, and it's kind of getting shit on.
I liked it too.
It was just a good family drama.
Yeah.
But like people are like so pissed at Spielberg for that one. Like, oh, he's so self-indulgent, like whatever, like he's towards the end of his career and he's an older man, let him reflect.
It's fucking Steven Spielberg. Yeah. Like what, whatever, you know. Michelle Williams is the kind of actress that like you just fall in love with her on screen no matter what she's doing.
Yeah.
I mean, she was like a whole kind of crazy in this movie, not like wickedly crazy, but like she definitely was portrayed a character who suffered from mental health issues that went unserviced because, you know, it was the 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, you just didn't. Paul Dano, he's one of my favorite actors. I mean, we talked about him when we talked about the Batman, but him in There Will Be Blood, one of my all-time favorite Oscar-winning movies.
Yep.
Crazy good. And actually what I've just learned recently about that performance, so in that movie, he plays twin brothers. And when that movie was set to start filming, he was only supposed to play one of them. It wasn't supposed to be twins. And then Paul Thomas Anderson like switched things around and asked him to play. He was originally just supposed to play like the older brother who's only in it for a little bit, and then asked him to play the younger, or the other, well, they're twins, but the other brother who's the one who's really involved. And he only had like 4 to 6 weeks to prepare for that when Daniel Day-Lewis, who by contract is given a year to prepare for all his roles because of the depth that he goes into it. So that's pretty crazy. And that was the first real, it was the first time we all saw Paul Dano that I remember. Was he was Klitz in The Girl Next Door.
Yeah.
Just like, that's just like slapstick goodness, but yeah, I mean, he's really stepped it up, and I think he's a well-deserving. We'll see a lot more great things from him.
Seth Rogen was really good in that, too.
Yeah. I saw him interviewed, and he said that he was disturbed that... Steven Spielberg asked him to shave his hairline back a little bit for the role to make him look more like the uncle. And he said that like he would like see friends and like no one would say anything. He's like, does everyone just think I'm losing my hair? I mean, he hasn't done much drama. He was in that one like Steve Jobs movie, I think, right, as Steve Wozniak.
Yeah.
Also another great good performance by someone we've watched come up from the beginning of their career. I don't have much other horror news. I mean, a lot of the new stuff that people are talking about is really involving the movie we're talking about tonight, so we can just save that for that.
Yeah, the one news thing I thought was kind of funny, and we haven't talked about the the movie on air yet. It looks like Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey has now made IMDb's top 100 worst films.
I just saw that they're bringing it back to theaters.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only in theaters for like 2 weeks.
It didn't do that badly, right?
No, it made money, which probably means
I mean, the budget had to be super low.
yeah. So I would imagine they're gonna, I don't know if they're gonna do a sequel, but they're gonna, I'm sure, continue this path of trying to get childhood
Well,
stories
maybe
brought
when
up.
it's streaming free somewhere, we'll do a fun.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to continue the trend. I mean, it's a public domain property, so it was just,
Yeah.
they were the
Someone
first
like
ones to jump
someone
on
like
it.
yeah, that's but so, someone like really hopped on it. Like it was almost as if they already had this written, because it was like public domain for like a week, and then this movie was announced. It's like someone just have a strange Winnie the Pooh fetish. We know people have Pooh fetishes.
Yeah, don't talk about that on here.
Other than watching some stuff, Sean and I went to go see our buddy Davis's band last Thursday, Commonwealth Choir, at Ortlieb's, one of my favorite little divey venues there in No Libs. Being built up more and more every time I go into that neighborhood, it's crazy. But such is the way. But yeah, first time that they played, and I think since our friend Davis's son was born, which was 15 months ago, so big deal for them to turn the amps, plug in the microphones again. And they seem to be really happy with their set. They played some new songs. I gave out some Killer Pod stickers
Cool.
to some lovely lady looking ladies. If you're the girl in the crop top with the smock dress, hello. If you're listening.
Sup.
And then Sean went to go see Bayside and I'm the Avalanche 2 nights later. I forgot to ask you how that was.
Oh, how's
No,
Bayside?
yeah, it was awesome. I mean, we've been listening to those bands for, I don't know,
More
15,
than half
20
my life now.
years. Yeah,
Yep.
almost 20 years. So seeing both of them come back for the first time in a couple of years was great. At least I'm the Avalanche. Bayside's been around more recently, but yeah, both were very good, played good sets. Just as fun as they've always been.
I'm the Avalanche just released a new track.
Yeah, they played the new track,
Very
dedicated to
punky.
somebody. Yeah.
And Bayside has just put out a couple of new tracks too, right?
Yes, they
Or am
did.
I?
They played a
Yeah.
no, they did. They just put out like two new singles, I think, within the last month or so.
Sweet.
And both they played both. Both were pretty good.
My two best memories of those bands are seeing I'm the Avalanche in Siren Records in Doylestown, with our crew back then. First time we ever saw them play Brooklyn Dodgers, and they didn't even set put it on record. They didn't even record it for like 2 more years to release. That was awesome.
That's cool.
I And
bought
then,
it. I bought it on a CD that night. I still have it with the case signed by Vinny, the singer.
that's
And it's like
dope.
it's numbered like 2 of like 50 or something. But I have a copy of it somewhere down here.
Vinny Caruana, the singer of I'm the Avalanche and the Movie Life, just super down to earth dude, like very humble, humble roots, humble dude. Met him, actually met him. We met, we like shook hands that night, and then I met him at Warped Tour a couple years later, or maybe even that following summer. And they had just like had said on stage that their van got broken into the night before. And it was just like, oh, if anybody like, come buy merch, support us. We need the money, help us out. And I remember I bought this hoodie, and then handed him like an extra 15 bucks just because like you know, it's like, sorry, your van got broken into, man. And like, I know, not to, I'm not like pat myself on the back or anything, but like, I felt like good about it. And he was so thankful to me because he's looking at me. I'm like, I was like a 17-year-old kid, like $15 is like back then,
yeah,
2005. It's a lot of money.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then Bayside, saw them in Pawtucket, Rhode Island. I think it was just a little before I finally got Vinny into them, but saw them with some of our college homies, and real small venue, and ended up just like walking, buying two beers and walking into the dressing room area, which is just like this back room, and like handing the drummer a beer. He's like, what the fuck are you doing back here, dude? It's like, oh, sorry, dude. There's no one stopped me. So that was fun.
Jeff and I checked out a local band's show at the TBD bar, Root Down's sister bar, brother bar.
Where do they set up a stage or anything in that place?
It was weird the way they don't have much of an option. They had to just put it over to the side where the Uncle B's like pickup takeout area used to be. So there wasn't much room to like stand in front of the band, but they had all the tables there and stuff. So I don't know how sustainable it's going to be to continue doing that, unless maybe they close the brewery for dining an hour or so beforehand so they can move some of the tables. But a lot of people came for it. Like, it was pretty packed house, right, Jeff?
Yeah, yeah. I was actually surprised how many people were there.
Yes. I didn't know.
The thing is, they have all that outdoor space. Once the weather's nice, they
can build up there. Yeah, they'll be able to do cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They could almost like there's like the way the deck patio for the restaurant is located. They could almost have like the band up there, and you're down in the beer garden looking up at them playing. That'd be pretty cool.
Never thought of that.
But the band's like, you know, there's local Southeast PA punk bands, and I enjoyed all of them. The only ones I knew was excuse me, the Noid. They were like headlining it. The other three bands I didn't know, and they were fun.
Nice. Support local music.
Yes.
It's very important. Because, I mean, I know, like, at least with our buddy's band that we talked about, like, you know, they just like to do it. You know, they're all married, and Davis is a dad now, and, you know, they have friends that are lucky enough to tour and be welcome to on like as like kind of openers and fests and stuff, but that's not really on their slate right now. They kind of, not that they missed that opportunity, but I mean they played a lot more shows when they were younger, and you know, it's difficult, people have jobs, but still important to support people that like playing good music.
Yeah, all in.
Speaking of Pete, did you see Cave-In is coming around?
I did.
In June with legendary doom metal band Yob.
It's going to be
that'd be a pretty good one.
Is that if it's like a early in the week deal, I might be able to do it. It's just June's a heavy month for me.
I think it's the 9th, which is a Friday night, so TBD. I think it's the 9th.
So if I can pivot a little bit, if no one else, we're on the topic of music. So I wanted to bring up, I don't know if anybody checked out, Rolling Stone just released the 100 greatest metal songs of all time.
Oh God.
And sure that's surprisingly well, put together list.
Huh. Okay.
At first
I wouldn't have trusted Rolling Stone with that,
especially for them to have like Sleep, like the doom metal band Sleep is on there. They have a Dillinger Escape Plan song on there. They're lower down on the list, but
Power Trip made the list.
Yeah, Power Trip made the list. So Animal they definitely Force. Had someone putting this together that's like a metal fan, you know. Now the top 10, I just want to go over the top 10. Because I have kind of like a while I have your question involving it. It's a good top 10. It's like a little, it's pretty on the nose, but so we got number 10, Run to the Hills, Iron Maiden. We got number 9, Holy Diver, Dio, Ronnie James Dio. Number 8, Raining Blood, Slayer. We got Iron Man, Black Sabbath at 7. We got Crazy Train, Ozzy Osbourne at 6. We got War Pigs, Black Sabbath at 5. We got Breaking the Law, Judas Priest at 4.
Ooh.
We got Ace of Spades, Motorhead at 3. We got Master of Puppets at 2. And we got a third Black Sabbath song in the top 10, Black Sabbath by Black Sabbath at number 1.
I mean, I mean that's pretty accurate.
So
I would personally swap Black Sabbath and War Pigs.
So my question to you guys is, if we're just talking a top 10 here, remove one song from this list and replace it with a song that you think is a top 10 most influential, best metal song of all time. I'll start, if that helps to give you time. I'm going to take, just because, I mean, I love Black Sabbath with all my heart. First CD I ever bought with my own money was Black Sabbath Volume 4. But I'm going to take off Iron Man, just because there's three Black Sabbath songs in here, you know? We can spare a space. I'm going to take off Black Sabbath, Iron Man, and I'm going to replace it with Suicide Nation by At the Gates. It's just because I think that as much as Black Sabbath, we wouldn't have metal without Black Sabbath, but the influence that At the Gates had on metalcore, both European and making the transition into American bands writing metalcore music, I think that's all because of At the Gates. So that's my pick.
Yeah, I dig that.
I'm going to do this before Vinny's able to. So I would probably kick off Judas Priest, Breaking the Law, and put on Pantera's Domination. I'm sure Pantera is on this list somewhere, but how are they not in the top 10?
They should probably have multiple.
Cowboys from Hell should be in the top 10.
What?
Yeah. I was going to take out... which song did you take out, Pete, from Black Sabbath?
I took out Iron Man.
Yeah. So Iron Man, yeah, I would do the same thing, and I would put on... Cowboys from Hell.
Word. Jeffrey?
I would probably take off Iron Maiden. Because what is Run to the Hills, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that should be the Trooper, man. Trooper's way better than Run to the Hills.
So just switching the song up, yeah. I'm down with that. My favorite Iron Maiden song, because it's like it's a full-on epic, but it's kind of like... I can see why it's not everyone's favorite, but Hallowed Be Thy Name.
I like that, yeah.
And a lot of it has to do with if you used to be a skater like I was when I was a Ute, there was a Zero skate video, and Jamie Thomas, the dude who like ran Zero.
Leap of Faith.
His first time I ever heard that song. And this is another thing that's like, I think I miss. I discovered so much good music watching skate videos. One of my favorite skate videos of all time was, Black Label, their video with Mike Vallely and all those dudes. Great fucking skate video. Even to this day, watch that shit and great music. But Jamie Thomas had Hallowed Be Thy Name as his song. And it's just such an epic, because it starts off with just like, dun, 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 and he's just like slowly skating up to these handrails, and it's all slow motion. And then the way that they would time like the epic parts of the song, like dun dun, and it's like as it does the dun, he's like, the tail of the board's hitting the rail, and just like, I miss that shit.
That's cool.
But yeah. That's cool. Thought that was a good,
Yeah, that was a fun while I have you here.
I would also consider Alice in Chains. I don't know if they fell on the list anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's like where it rides that line, because it's like I think that they did a good job of keeping it like straight metal on this list.
Yeah,
I'll tell you Godsmack is 100% a metal song.
I think That River is a metal song too.
Yeah, I mean anything. I'm not against it. That's for sure.
All those grunge bands had different influences, right? And they, like Nirvana tended towards the punk side of things. And
yeah,
I always thought Alice in Chains was more on the metal side.
For sure. And then Pearl Jam was definitely more like influenced by kind of like more of like the 70s rock.
Yeah.
Yep.
But, you know, they had heavy songs too. Soundgarden kind of the same way. Soundgarden especially was more like, you know, Chris Cornell was the best voice in grunge, laying very close. But I think, I mean, as far as like someone who could like hit those notes, whereas, you know, neither Cobain was just like, you know, kind of
doing his best.
A very grungy voice, like a very like, you know, like, but like, you know, more of like a punk yell scream singing. And then Eddie Vedder just, you know, kind of invented Creed and Nickelback.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's a bad thing. I love Creed, so there's some Creed songs I'll totally jam out to. I'm not ashamed to say. I know Vinny's the same way. You know what you need is space from like the last time you heard it, and then you hear it and you're like, man, this song kind of slaps. Especially yeah. my own prison.
But you had to hear What If every day for like 3 months straight.
Yeah.
And then we even got thrown out of a bar because we did it at karaoke.
So another thing I wanted to ask you guys about, because when I saw the movie we're talking about tonight, I had a bit of an issue, because I actually went to a theater that I don't normally go to. It was a little more crowded because I saw it on a Saturday night. And I want to talk about movie theater etiquette.
It obviously
gets more difficult once the movie's theater starts to get full. And nowadays you have to pick your seats, right? So I picked a seat. You know, everyone, you go on the screen, everyone picks a middle seat, right? Because that's, you get the best view of the screen. So I set up. I post up. I put my popcorn and my hoodie on like the seats next to me. I go to the bathroom. I want to go to the bathroom one last time, and I come back, and this group of five teenage girls is sitting directly next to my stuff. and like it's not full. It's not even half full. And I know because I looked at this, because you can look up on your phone the seats that are sold, and they bought their seats at the end of the row. And you know, I'm not going to say anything. Especially now 33, I'm not going to be like that, like curmudgeon-y old guy.
Yeah, get off my lawn.
Make fun of. But now I just got to move all my shit, you know? So I moved it to the front row in front of me. And then someone ended up sitting in the seat where I was sitting that I bought, and they sit directly behind me. And now I'm hearing them slap their fucking lips and chew their popcorn. Anyways, I don't know. I just feel like there's a little bit of it gets more difficult now, I guess, because you have to pick your seats. But it used to be like, if I was in a theater at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon and just like one other person comes in, you don't sit anywhere near the other person.
No way.
No rows.
I mean, it's like for us gentlemen, like you never pick the urinal next to somebody if there's other ones open.
Yeah, only at a sports game. That's pretty much the only time that's.
Because the
machine needs to keep moving. But yeah, I don't know. I just, and then a fight nearly broke out with a gang of Utes behind me. Not that close to me. It was way up in the top of the theater, but just like some like, and it was right in the middle of a very intense scene. So I was like kind of getting mad and
yeah, see, I hate all that shit. Yeah. Distractions happening in the theater. There should be no distractions. Sure. There were like my distraction while I was watching it was much less than someone, you know, talking or almost getting in a fight. But this dude kept going on his cell phone. Like, don't do that. Like I don't want to see your screen lighting
talking
up.
Or is it just on a screen?
No, but just like playing around, you know, swiping and scrolling. Like, I don't want to see that shit lighting up in front of me.
Yeah, if it was in front of me, I'd be a lot more pissed. The girls I mentioned that sat next to me, two of them were just like, they were behind me, so I didn't see the light on the screen, but I did give them a solid like look over. The movie was fully on, and they were just like, why are you here? Why are you paying attention? Like, you spent it's $15 to go to the movies now, you know. So it's like, why are you spending that money to just sit there on your phone?
Yeah,
kids. But yeah, so apparently it was like four or five, like probably like 18 to 21 year olds, and one dude who was like our age, and he was just like I guess there was enough that I didn't hear them like talking, probably whispering, because they were far enough away from me. But I think he finally had it, and he like, I all I heard was, "Are you guys fucking kidding me?" And I was just like, "What's happening?" And then there was a kerfuffle, and then a manager came in and they all left. So,
oh, okay.
I had some shenanigans in mind too. I bought my ticket on Fandango like right before I went, and all of the back rows were full and the front three rows were completely empty. So I took one in the middle of row three, which is like not ideal, but it was fine.
Yeah.
And then like a couple came in, I don't know, 5 minutes after I sat down, and they chose the two seats directly next to me, that's even though the rest of the row was open. I'm like, okay. Cool. And then, all right.
At least leave one or two seats.
One buffer.
Yeah. That's strange.
And then if I go with like one of you guys, we leave a buffer unless it's a full theater.
Maybe they were anticipating being scared and wanted the,
I don't know.
The contact.
And 10 minutes after the movie started, so we're like in it, because this movie started pretty quick, in it, and a group comes down into my row and takes their cell phone out and puts the flashlight on to try to find their seat. I'm like, I'm sorry, you're 10 minutes into the movie, like, and they were seats 1, 2, and 3. Like, it's not hard, it's the first three fucking seats. Why do you need your flashlight for this?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I find the picking your seats on the screen annoying, because it means that people have to come in and then find their seats instead of just picking a seat.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had the first three. They had the easiest ones to find. So that annoyed me too, but.
So here's my next thing that I'm going to complain about. In the concessions line, when you get up there and so how is it that people can stand in line for 10 minutes and then get, especially people with kids, I'm sorry, but they're like, okay, honey, what do you want? It's like, you didn't make your kid pick what he wanted.
You didn't discuss this while waiting
for 10, 15 minutes. And, oh my God, that drives me nuts.
Dude, it's everywhere. I've had it happen at like McDonald's. Like, how do you not know what you want?
Yeah. It's like, I've been thinking about what I want all day, you know?
I knew it before I even knew where I was going for food.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, this isn't a complaint, but this is like a crazy thing that I can't believe happens. So when I went up, and they have a person there selling tickets for people can't use the screen, but I'm just using the screen and I'm buying my tickets, because I actually ended up going to the AMC in the Chamonix because of timing, in Vinny's old stomping grounds. But this couple walks up and they're like, and the girl is like, all right, hon, like, what do you want to see? I was like, what? Like, you drove here in a car together and you didn't discuss what movie you're going to see, let alone like timing. You're just like, that is a roll of the dice. That's like crazy this day and age.
You're just like hoping there was a movie playing at the time you were going
to
show up.
What if the only thing left to see was like some piece of shit?
So, oh no, wild. I don't remember the number from movie phone. We're just gonna have to see what happens when we get there.
And this couple was our age. Like, this, it's not like it was like some old couple.
That's crazy. That's weird.
That's hilarious.
But that's all I got, I think. Be courteous in the movie theater. That's all I got to say.
Yes.
And decide, know what you want to get.
Or want to see.
My new move for the movie theater, I brought a little nip of Wild Turkey and put that in my Diet Coke.
Nice.
Nice item.
Yeah, I this AMC had a full bar with a bartender, so I just went and I got a double shot of tequila and I poured it in my high C. High C. I was like, man, I haven't had high C since I was knee high to a duck.
I forgot the old and Chamonix had the bar in there.
Well, it's all revamped and nice. So, yeah, it's been a while since I've been there, but I actually might. It's a little further, but now that the barn's closed, it leaves me open options to see. It's probably like 10 minutes further for me than going to.
You think that's Warrington, that's in better shape than Warrington Crossing?
It's not in better shape, but I like the setup better, and the screens are bigger, and I like.
Yeah, they have nice. That's a big theater.
Their armrest move up and down, which I like.
Yeah.
If I want to like put my leg up on one side or like whatever, and then they also have like they just give you a cup and you fill your own cup. So now that I know that, I'm like, oh, I can just bring my Yeti cup in here and fill that shit up with whatever I want. The other thing that annoys me, at this theater is they have like a full-on snack bar. It's not just like your concessions. Like the dude in front of me ordered a flatbread pizza. I'm like, okay, dude, you're gonna stand here for 10 minutes and wait for them to make you a frozen flatbread pizza in an air fryer?
That's a power move.
Yeah. I tried to see if they had any of the collectible Scream cups, but they didn't. Huh. So, I mean, not that I need that shit, but
yeah. How about on the front of what you guys been watching? Anything new? TV, movies?
Finished The Last of Us.
Yeah, The Last of Us finale was the other day, which was
no spoilers. I didn't finish it yet.
No, it was good. I think it's pretty true to where the video game went. Definitely leaving some questions for season two.
I heard that they're going to stretch out the first game into three seasons.
I don't know where the first game ended. So
yeah, Jeff, did you start watching it?
What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was reading something. No, I haven't started yet. I'm going to hopefully get into it this weekend.
Yeah, I'm very curious to hear what you think about it, because you're the only one of us that played the game.
Mm. Yeah. I didn't hear they were trying to stretch it out to three seasons, but...
Okay, maybe that was...
I had heard they're already talking about recasting the girl because of the jump in time.
Oh, yeah, I guess they would have to, huh?
I'm pretty sure I heard that she's locked in for season two.
Oh, really?
Okay. You might be thinking, Vinny, I think that maybe they'll stretch the second game into two seasons. But okay. From what I've, not that I played the game, but from what I've heard, it ended as the first game ends. But I might be wrong.
Oh, the first season?
Yeah.
Is the first game?
Pretty sure.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's only two games. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Because all the stuff online already is people talking about next season and talking about the second game. So, okay. And I'm trying to avoid that because I'm like, Jesus Christ, I just avoided all the spoilers for this finale. And now people are just trying to spoil the whole second season for me already.
There was a Easter egg in there. They give a flashback. Well, I don't even have to tell you who the character was. There's a flashback and the girl who played Ellie in the video game is the actress in the show.
Cool. Huh.
Apparently everybody who played the game like instantly recognized her voice and was like, oh shit.
That's cool.
Other than that, I don't think I've watched any movies.
Yeah, I did was rewatch the Brain Damage Joe Bob episode.
Nice.
And I watched I don't know if it was like the middle or the beginning of the slasher, but it's called The Final Terror. It seems like an early slasher. I just can't remember. But it's got it's super like cheesy early 80s. But like one of those casts where like a bunch of people who are famous now.
So Jeff, they just added that on Shudder, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think that's where I got it. Was in like the newly added.
Yeah. You were saying Joe Pantoliano is in, and a bunch of guys are in it that recognize the names of.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. Yeah,
you have to check that out. I love an 80s slasher.
I'm always down for a new slasher.
I do. That's... really. You were mentioning that he's in Bad Boys. I really, not to spoil it if you haven't seen it yet, but it's been out for a long time, but he dies in the newest one.
Damn,
it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, his character, he's just shines in Bad Boys too.
Somebody basically drive-bys Will Smith, and then they drive by him, and Will Smith lives, and then strangely at the end he slaps Chris Rock. And
what a twist.
Jada Pinkett Smith is there.
Yeah, I don't know why I had no desire to see the third one.
I love those movies so much.
Same.
The third one was fun, man. It was good.
Yeah. The second one kills me because they literally roll into Cuba and blow mad shit up. Like, this would start a war. Like, they blow up buildings, houses, and then like, and then
driving through
like,
the,
and then he's just like, I gotta get to Guantanamo Bay. It's like, and then he just crosses the line, and it's just like ridiculous. But I love it. They just have such a great dynamic between the two of them. It's hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
In the second one, when he's got like the Uzi, Martin Lawrence has the Uzi, and he accidentally shoots at the dash in the airbags. Oh my god, so good.
When the
plus, not to mention Vinny's favorite line in the second one by the Haitian.
The devil is not welcome here. I love those Haitians. They're badass.
That's a great shootout scene.
Yep. Why you gotta talk about the devil in this man's house?
Did you say what you've been watching, Evany?
I mainly just been watching The Mandalorian and Last of Us. But I wanted to bring up maybe a future Watch This or Die, or just something we could watch in general and talk about. Have you guys heard about the movie Kimmy that came out in 2022?
No.
It's a what's that director's name? Soderbergh?
Steven Soderbergh?
Soderbergh. It's one of his joints. Came out in 2022. It's like not horror, but a thriller. Starring Zoe Kravitz. And it's like this Kimmy program, which is like the fictionalized version of Siri or Alexa. And Zoe Kravitz works for the company. And she has to like listen in to people's devices. I don't know if it was for like advertising purposes or checking on security, whatever. But she overhears like a brutal attack, which, no spoilers in the synopsis, ends up being a murder. And she tries to like report it to the Kimmy company, and they just think she's crazy, and they start investigating and listening in on her. And it takes place in 2022, so COVID's happening. It takes place in the Northwest, so the riots are happening. She's also agoraphobic, so she won't go outside. It's all this shit. It sounds very interesting, though.
Hmm. Oh, so you haven't seen it. You seem to know a lot about it.
That's all based on the plot. or beyond the synopsis.
I will watch anything with Zoe Kravitz. Yeah. I would crawl naked through broken glass just to lay at her feet. She is the product of two beautiful people.
Yep.
She herself is she's like a perfect person. I love her.
Well, maybe we should consider doing that one. I love a good thriller.
Yeah, no, you know what? I do remember seeing that now. It's like, it's on HBO Max, right?
I think yeah, I don't know why, I don't know how I missed that one. Because I mean, I would have been all over that when it came out.
Yeah.
And it
she's got like some like blue hair or something, right?
Yeah, something like that.
All my weaknesses all in one. Blue hair, blue or multi, some sort of multicolored hair. Zoe Kravitz. Brown skin ladies. Speaking of brown skin ladies, there's a couple cute ones in this movie.
Yes, there is. All right. Oh. Jeff, so you have not seen our feature for the week.
To see it.
Did you watch 4 and 5, though? So we're talking Scream 6 tonight.
I didn't even get to 5.
Okay.
Just didn't have the time. But I will hopefully catch both of them soon.
Yeah, yeah, get on it. And this one, this one was, I mean, besides us griping about theater experiences, it was fun for a theater experience.
Right. Yeah.
Definitely see it on the big screen.
And it is a trilogy now, so I think seeing 5, you should definitely do.
Yeah, 5 would be important.
All right. Well, I'm going to get out of here then so you guys can have a conversation about this film.
All right.
And I will talk to y'all later. Love, yeah. Peace, and chicken grease. I'm out.
See you, brother.
Peace, dude.
Bye, Jeff.
All right. So we are doing Scream 6, Watch This or Die. Before we get into it, we're going to do a quick break, which will give us some potty time for you listeners. It'll be pretty instantaneous, but still. Quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to dive into Scream 6, Watch This or Die. All right, so I guess, so as of, so when this episode drops, Scream 6 will only be in theaters for a week. So do you want to avoid spoilers here as best we can?
I think that we, for certain, avoid...
like who Ghostface
who the killers
is.
Are.
Any mention of the killer, or who the
killer is. Yeah, I mean, deaths are deaths. Frankly, and not to, there aren't a lot of like character deaths in this movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and they, you know, this is one of those things.
There's good kills. There's good kills. Like I was nodding, like, oh, that's a good, you know, good creative kills. Ghostface uses a gun for the first time that I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, maybe Scream 2, there's a gun. But I think that might be after the unmasking in the second one. But
he had the shotgun in this one though.
Yeah, brutal.
Yeah, that convenience store scene was really good. I really enjoyed the opening. It was suspenseful and it had that good screen opening scene quality to it.
One of my favorites, honestly, if I'm looking at all six of them, aside from the first one, which is iconic, is obviously what I liked about it is it really puts you on that we're not in Woodsboro anymore, we're in New York City, and like different playing field, anything can happen.
Yep, the rules are all different.
Yeah,
the opening of this movie really hits you right out of the gate. Like cold open style,
and I mean, I wouldn't necessarily put that actress Samara Weaving on like the same level as Drew Barrymore, but to have she's a final girl in the horror community from Ready or Not. She's also a horror actress from The Babysitter, so she's like, you know, she's in the world, in the realm.
Oh yeah.
And she is a known actress, you know, so like, you know, you to have that intro of, oh, you got a big name actress who gets off in the first, you know, 5-10 minutes, and the way they did that and then you know, then they twist it again. I thought that was really good too.
Yeah, I didn't know if that's where they were going to go with it. That, you know, that twist in particular, I was like, oh, that was one of my first notes. Was like, oh shit.
Well, I mean, right away, just from my like dissection mind of movies, because he unmasked himself right away, I'm like, well, that's not the killer then. I mean, he's a killer.
Yeah, they weren't going to do a reveal in the opening scene. It's like something
I mean, that would be wild.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be against a slasher franchise that does that.
No, that's I was actually kind of hoping that that's where it was going in.
But yeah, I mean, it could be.
It does not.
So, to wrap the just kind of we don't need to go over the whole thing, but basically for our listeners, the girls, the whole crew. So like
the core four,
the core four.
Yeah, the core four, and that's what I kind of wasn't really putting together from the last one until this one. How like okay, so this is the new crew, like. It's a full, you know, and they bring it up in the last one that it's a reboot. It's just a reboot where some of the original characters happen to be peppered into. So it's not a remake, right? So you just got a crew that's, you know, they're not, it's not like exactly like, oh, this is Sydney, this is Dewey, because they all have their own thing going on.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, because two of them are brother and sister, they didn't have that. I kind of feel like the brother and sister is kind of like the Dewey and Gale, even though instead of them dating, they're just brother and sister kind of bond. But the gang's in New York, and Samantha, the older sister, is dealing with her stuff. She's seeing a therapist. She's trying to get all that going. And Tara, played by Jenna Ortega, who's just on top of the world right now, frankly. Her career's, she's got a great blast off career for a woman in her early 20s. Yep. She's done a lot already too. You know, she's just trying to enjoy college, right? And the sister's kind of being protective of her. The best friend, Jasmine Savoy Brown, is the actress. She plays Mindy. She's got a lot going on too, because she was in she's in Yellow Jackets also right now. So you know, these people are they got a good thing going on.
Yeah.
So where do you guys place this as, like, I heard some people complaining about this movie, like, oh, it's like watching like Riverdale, it's like watching like a WB like teen drama, and I kind of like, don't you remember the first Scream? That's what it was. I mean, it was high school students.
Yeah, that's the, you know, point of it.
Like, it's not like, and I don't look at it as like dramatic. Like, it's not like that lame TV drama. It's like they're rebooting the series. It can't just be, because I don't know that I would want to watch it. This is a semi spoiler, even though it was already announced before the movie, but everyone thought that she was going to show up. She doesn't. Sydney is not in this movie. First Scream with no Sydney, but I didn't miss her. Like, I thought it was good, because my guess is that she's going to be back in the next one. Because there's going to be a next one, right? I mean,
yeah, they already greenlit 7.
Yeah, they're going to wrap this up with a third one.
So I've heard a ton of like theories about where the next one's gonna go. Everyone still thinks Stu's alive from the first one.
Well, they kind of Easter egged it in this one.
They Easter egged it a little bit.
They did Easter egg it.
And I wouldn't be mad. I'd actually love it. But you know. Where do we want to go next?
Well, so, I mean, I haven't really heard much or seen much complaining or negativity about this either. No, from,
I think in general, it's being received very well, and it's killing the box office.
Yeah.
It beat out, what was the big movie that was in theaters right before this? Oh, beat out Cocaine Bear. It beat out.
It beat Creed 3.
Creed 3, yeah.
It already broke the record for the franchise.
Yeah, it broke the record for the franchise for opening day, which is wild. I just love to hear that, because it really means people are, because you have to see this in theaters right now, not available anywhere else yet. So,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, I saw a 9:30 show, and there was, you know, probably 30 people in the movie theater. So I imagine all those earlier shows were probably pretty packed.
Yeah, we saw it.
What day did this open?
This past Friday. Yeah. What date is that?
So we both saw it, Sean. You saw it earlier in the day than I did, but.
Yeah, I saw it Saturday. So yeah, the theater was packed on Saturday.
We both saw it.
We went like 3 o'clock on Sunday, and it was pretty packed. You know, it was odd. I don't know if you guys. Well, you already talked about some people that are in your theater. There was a lot of young kids in our theater, yeah. Like with their parents.
There was a couple of kids in mine too.
Like 10-year-olds.
Yep.
It was strange. Like. This is like,
I didn't have that.
This
movie
is pretty violent for 10-year-olds.
They I mean, the movie theaters, especially on like Friday, Saturday nights, are pretty hardcore about carding and not letting people into the wrong theater and everything. So there was definitely a lot of like 18 to, I guess you have to be 17 to 21-year-olds, which like. I mean, that's awesome because it means that people are interested in the genre still, or getting into it because, you know, I feel like for people like us who have been into horror, our whole lives, there aren't a lot of like good introductory to horror movies nowadays for younger people, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it means that these people have either seen all the screams, or they're just like, let's check this out, and it's going to want to make them, because this one has throwbacks to every single one before it, so it's going to make them want to see those. So you know, but I was just surprised to see, because I would expect to in the theater to be like 30 year old plus, but I'm glad that it wasn't. I'm glad to see young people out.
Yeah, it's cool seeing this crowd.
I mean, we had to be pretty creative back in the day to sneak into.
Oh yeah, it was tough, but these kids were there with their parents or guardians, like,
so
they brought them to see this. It was weird. There was like a little kid sitting next to us, with her mom. There was like three little kids in the row behind us with their parents, and it was kind of cool. It was like they were. It didn't annoy me because like they were like whispering during the movie, but they were whispering like about the movie and trying to figure out who Ghostface was. And then when it was revealed, like they kind of like blurted out like, "Oh, I knew it!" Like it was fun that they were into it.
Did this movie, with both the references and just the way it played out, give you Giallo reference Giallo vibes at all?
Yeah,
a little bit, because you had the detective, and they also refer to Giallo multiple times.
They do. They brought it up like several times in the movie,
which I just thought was funny because of the episode we just did.
Yeah, they're like, oh, like the Giallo nerds, and they said that one guy was obsessed with Argento.
Yeah, they were writing a Giallo paper for their movie history class or whatever.
But it's like, always fun when they. It's like every one of these, you know, has some kind of reference to what's going on with the horror trends, and it was funny that Giallo kept coming up.
No, I like that. I caught every one of those references when they were going through it.
It's hot now, but like they're all, you know, we just talked about it, 60s, 70s, 80s movies, but they weren't available for American watchers to get into until companies like Arrow and Severin and Shudder made them available to us. So like we're all like late bloomers.
No, and I texted you guys about it right before we started, but I was reading an interview they did with Jenna Ortega about the film, and they asked her to pick a double feature movie that she would choose to play with this one, and she's like, oh, I don't know that it really pairs up with anything great, but one that I'm coming back to is Deep Red.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh damn.
Maybe she listens to the podcast.
I was like, does she listen? Are you on Shudder? So she, I mean, she clearly knows her shit. Which is pretty cool.
I thought that, like, for young actors, all these actors are pretty, are pretty solid. I love the punch Gale, punching Gale in the face.
Yep.
Was funny.
One of my notes was I didn't really, because they kind of get into the Gale wrote a book about them based on the previous movie.
Yeah.
And she like sold them out. And I was like, I don't know if Gale would have sold them out after like everything they went through in Scream 5.
Well, I think what I kind of thought about is that Gale kind of played into the theory that is there one of the whole things about that's playing into this movie is that there's all these online theories that Sam is the actual killer,
yeah.
And because I'm gonna spoil a little bit the last one if you haven't seen that one, but we're talking about this one anyway. But you find out in Scream 5 that Billy Loomis is actually the father of Sam, and so she has, you know, it all starts, she sees some visions of him, and she communicates with him sort of, and she has these
a slightly fat Billy Loomis.
Yeah, and she has these kind of serial killer type tendencies, scares her therapist.
She does have some tendencies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the last one, she stabs the one killer like 27 times and then shoots him in the head.
She gets a little stabby.
So, but finally, you know what? I love that because I hate, and I know it's because it's a trope, you know, it's just like because the killer always has to come back. But I hate when people like they have a bat and like they like swing and they hit the killer and the killer falls like over
in the shoulder
and then they drop the bat and they're just and then they run away and like smash his fucking skull in.
Yeah.
like yeah, I mean, you know,
but you wouldn't have you wouldn't have a movie if that didn't happen.
I know, it's just like I am always putting myself in the real life situation
where yeah, I would smash the skull into smithereens like, all right, now yeah. I'm good.
Obviously none of this counts for Jason because he'll be blown up and still come back, but
yeah,
that's different. I thought I don't know how far into this I want to get, but my only gripe about this movie is the killer.
So
that wasn't enough to take me out of the rest of the movie because I thought the whole movie was good.
Were you able to call it pretty early on?
Yes. I thought, sort of.
Yeah, I mean,
I was pretty sure.
At first it was a guess, but then, and I can't say it without
I don't want to spoil it.
But there's one definitive scene where I was like, yep, I'm right. That person's the killer.
Yeah.
But one of the issues with this movie, I think, is the characters that return from Scream 5, like the cast that lives together, you're like pretty sure it's none of them. And then there's like not that many additional characters added to the list. So it's like, oh, okay. You know?
Yeah. Cause you can't ever have it be someone, you can't just like, oh, it's the trash man.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it has to be someone who's been established. Right.
That was like when the movie starts, the first killer, when he unmasks himself, I'm like, oh, who the fuck is that guy?
Yeah.
We got like randoms wearing the mask. So it is a possibility. I guess they could go there. But do they?
I think, honestly, my favorite, and you don't see the on-screen kill, but the fridge reveal was pretty fantastic.
The fridge reveal was cool.
Because you've never seen that much dismemberment in a Scream movie.
Yeah, that was like, because of the opening scene, like a flashback to the original Scream when she's hanging from the tree with her guts hanging out. Yeah, just like the reveal and the violence.
One of the other things I thought, I know this was taking place in New York, but I feel like they could have utilized the New York atmosphere a little bit better. Like this movie could have really taken place anywhere. There's like one scene on a subway And then,
I mean, yeah, you just knew it was a metropolis of some kind.
And one scene in a convenience store, and then other, it could have been like any generic city.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, I mean, I didn't need to see the Statue of Liberty in the background or anything.
No, I guess not. But just
the subway scene was pretty great though, and there was all kinds of Easter eggs in that, which was cool.
Yeah, the subway scene was cool.
All the different horror villains, and then I didn't catch it. In real time, as it was happening so quickly, but I was reading that they had somebody dressed up or in cosplay as a different character from all of Wes Craven's movies on the subway, which is pretty cool.
Not to notice that.
Yeah, I mean, there were so many people on that subway. Like you saw Pinhead, you saw Freddy Krueger, you saw Michael Myers.
But you were also there was like a bunch of people with the mask on, and you're like trying to figure out which Ghostface is the real Ghostface. You're like, oh, because one of them.
Because you're just waiting. I was just waiting for one of them to charge, so I wasn't really paying attention to all the extras. But I thought that was cool that there was a character represented from each of Wes Craven's movies.
I did like that, like the New York aspect of it did bring up the. Like, as far as, like, if the killer's trying to get them in their apartment, you're dealing with a much smaller space than, like, chasing them around a whole house.
Yeah.
So that added a little bit of, you know, locking yourself in a bedroom or a bathroom or whatever.
And also, not to interrupt, but, like, he goes into a convenience store and one guy stands up to him, and then the convenience store owner immediately has, like, a double barrel shotgun.
Yeah.
Like, he is in a city convenience store.
Another thing... and you know, it's just because you gotta, you can't just kill him off. But you know, there in the convenience store, he watches him slaughter this guy, and he has the gun on him. And then he goes, "Hey, instead of just shooting him,
yeah,
just shoot him."
Let's see if we can deal with this amicably here.
I love the therapist kill. Was really good.
Yeah, that was cool.
Sorry, a little bit of a spoiler, but it's not like an ending spoiler.
Good kill though, and right to the point. Didn't like drag out with like, the therapist like trying to get away or anything like that. It was it just happens.
The therapist kill was good.
Can we talk about the shrine? Is that a spoiler?
Yeah, I don't know. So the stab museum, if you will, super cool.
Yeah,
and
I thought it was cool to see flashbacks of Billy Loomis in the shrine, like in the old costume.
Yeah,
was cool. It was a nice touch,
and it was a good way for them to like go over different points of the entire franchise, how they're like walking around and looking at the different, you know, bits of evidence or exhibits, if you will. And talking about each previous movie based on that. It was cool.
Sean.
I was going to say, did Hayden Panettiere bring anything to this movie, did you guys think?
Literally the same thing I was about to say. So.
Who is that?
She like subverts the plot a little bit. They kind of use her to move the plot along. But
I think
she needed to come back.
I think that it was solely because I think they entered her character into it because the only person you had in this from any other one was Gale. So I feel like they were like, who else can we bring back? Because I don't think that she like, I think the movie could have happened without her and you wouldn't have really missed anything.
I did not buy her as an FBI agent.
Yeah. She was really only in it as another potential killer.
Yeah
which like I don't know, I don't really remember the one she was in, if I even saw it, so I, you know, I could have bought it, I guess.
Yeah, that was the fourth. Yeah,
I might have to go back and watch that.
You should watch it. The fourth one's good, and I actually won't tell you who the killer is if you haven't seen it, so
I guess it's not her.
Well, no, she's in this one.
But she's another, yeah. She was one like in four where it was kind of open-ended. Like you can, as you're watching it, sort of assume she dies. Like she gets stabbed, but they don't show her like death on screen. So she might have made it. And then obviously it turns out she made it.
What you just said reminded me. There was like several people that were stabbed in this movie that I'm like, oh, they're dead.
Oh, only there's one like big one.
Flash forward 10 minutes later and they're just like fine.
Yeah.
There's one big one where I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And I don't want to reveal it because it's a main character. But
no, it's super dead.
And it's also very much just like, oh yeah, by the way, they're fine. And it's like in the last. Did you guys stay for the post credit scene?
Oh, I
read about it.
I googled it and it said there wasn't one. There wasn't one.
No, literally, it's just the black girl's like, not every movie needs a post credit scene, and that's it.
Ah, okay. That's funny.
That's pretty funny.
What else did I want to say about this? Yeah, I mean, I enjoyed it. Like, some of the headlines I've been seeing from like different horror news outlets. Like, I saw one saying it was the best sequel since Part Two. Just a lot of love overall.
I mean, I pretty much put 4 or 5 in this on an even plane. I like them as they are. They're good. The only one and even 3 is fine. It's just I hate the whole like.
I don't like 3.
Her like, I think 3 has the weakest killer, and I think that. Also, that I hate like the whole like Sydney, like hallucinating and seeing her mother.
Yeah, and there's no way you can buy that Roseanne's sister was the killer. Like,
no, that's 2.
Is that 2?
Yeah.
Oh, that annoyed me about 2 then.
But it's in 2. It's her and Timothy Oliphant.
But then still, like, so with some of the kills, she was doing them, and that's just not believable to me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I think I talked about this. I know I've talked about it before. I don't know if we. I know we didn't do a Watch This or Die for the last one, but I think we just like discussed it like in passing. There's always some continuity errors with who is the killer, especially in the last one, because in the last one, when they off Dewey, there's 2 killers, and one of them is in the scene without the costume on. And then the other one, there's no way that that person could have done it in the last one. There's a teenage high school girl, and literally like guts him and like picks him up with the knife.
Yeah.
Like after taking 3 to the chest, regardless of there being a bulletproof vest, you put 3 in the chest of a high school girl, they're down for the count for like at least a few hours. People get bruised to shit with the bulletproof vest on with bullets, you know? And it was like point blank. So anyway, yeah, there's some continuity errors with like who's in the suit, who's doing the kill. In this one too. But, you know, you just kind of have to. It was overall, and I like when you look at like the first one, right? And you look at how like because it's just 2 high school kids, and they're like sloppy as shit, and they're like
tripping, yeah, they're clumsy and falling. Yeah.
This definitely gave you the feeling of like it was like a tough, strong Ghostface, like putting Gail's boyfriend through the window. Just in general, like when Ghostface walks into that bodega and it's just like you just see like combat boots and just like kind of slowly pans up, like
able to handle the shotgun and like stalking the aisles and everything. Yeah, so, yeah, definitely a different feel to Ghostface. All right, well, I assume we all give it a watch.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely already looking forward to the next one.
Yeah, so what are I haven't heard any theories on what part 7 is going to be like.
So a lot of it, cuz if you look at in a way, these are sort of following the outline of the original movies. And you look at, if you're looking at the last one as one, you know, they're in high school. You know, there's two killers. This one, they're in college. You know, it's not like if they're remaking the movie on its own, but so the next one, you know, probably will be close to post college or something like that, or if it follows suit to the third one, there will only be one killer in the next one. Right. So I did see a theory. I was talking about my issues with the Dewey kill in the last one and the person who was doing it. There is a theory out there that someone thinks that that killer was Stu, and that Stu just didn't get away with it, or got away with it and was orchestrating the other two in the last movie. So I think in general, the biggest theory is that Stu is going to be in the next one. Despite being stabbed, shot, and taking a TV to the head in the first scream. We've seen worse. We've seen more or less possible things happen, you know?
Yeah.
Hopefully they just, like, if they're going to bring him back. I mean, I love Matthew Lillard. I just hope that they do it right. They have, like, scarring on his face. Like, make it legit. Make it real.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody come back to life in the third Scream movie?
As far as like the killer?
Well, they've just been kind of... It got like very meta when the one roommate started explaining the plot of the film. Started talking about who the killer is. It can't be any of us. It's got to be the new guy. It's got to be this and that.
I'm trying to remember.
I'm just wondering if it'll follow, like, if the third movie will follow the plot of the third film. So I don't know. My own theory.
So the third one is kind of meta because the third one largely takes place on the set of a stab movie. So it's almost kind of like how in Wes Craven's New Nightmare, they are all the actors that played the characters in the movie.
Yeah.
Except instead of the characters being killed off, the actors who play them are being killed off in the third one. So it's possible that that's where this is going to go. Mm-hmm. Although, because of like the way things are now, if they're going to switch it up a little bit and do it that way, it might be a TV show, like for HBO or Netflix, instead of it being a movie. But they may very well end up on the set of something, because we already know that Gail wrote the book, and Gail wrote the book that the Stab movie was based off of in the first one, because Stab. It's Stab 1 that's being made in the third one, right? So, yeah. It could be the way it goes. I wouldn't be mad at it.
Yeah, I'll try to be excited for the seventh one. I part of me feels like this one kind of wrapped up so well, I almost wish they left it alone.
Yeah,
but depending on what they do.
I think that there's definitely, because you still have two main characters, right? Which is one of the different arcs about this movie. And that could because of the whole like thing with Sam, it's possible that she could become a killer in the next one.
Yeah, but that'd be lame, though. Because then, as you know, because she's the face of this retelling, if she does end up being the killer, they're going to show way too much like POV and what Ghostface is thinking as this is happening. And I feel like that'd be a mess that I don't want to see.
She's 100% going to be a suspect.
Well, yeah. I mean, she was sort of in this one.
The other theory I've heard is that somebody thinks that the killer, whoever the killer is in the next one, is going to be in love with her or in love with Tara. And I don't know. It could be something.
Yeah.
Lots of ways they can go with it. Hopefully. I feel like the only reason that there is a Scream 4 is because Scream 3 wasn't received so well. So, because otherwise they would have left it wrapped up as a trilogy.
Well, there's money to be made. I mean, Ghostface is still one of the bigs of all the franchises. So,
yeah,
you can keep making them, and we'll keep going.
It'd be interesting if we did a top 10. Scream, Nightmare, Halloween, Friday the 13th, but one, there has to be one of each, or at least two of each on the list.
Huh.
Makes decisions, especially with those other ones, pretty difficult.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be fun. We should write that down.
Because those are the biggest slasher franchises. There's no other one that would fit in there. Well, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, let's sign it off. So wrapping up another Watch Us or Die. We do, have a War Games coming next week. A week from when this episode drops, Thursday nights, you can always hear our new episodes. So, Pete, you came up with a pretty brilliant name for our new War Games. What's happening?
It is going to be Mafia, Mobsters, Gangs, and Crews.
So a little bit of gangster.
It'll be a It'll be a top 10 of
crime movies.
Basically, anything that falls under the organized crime category.
Yeah.
There's lots of it's pretty big umbrella actually when you once you start.
Yeah, should we go a couple more than 10? Or keep it lean?
I like the 10. We've been doing good at 10. Oh,
stresses me out.
And then we can we talk for a half hour about discards, so.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, that'll be coming next week. And until then.
We have the Killer Pod crew.
Yeah, the Killer Pod crew. Like Jeff already said.
Love, peace, and chicken grease.
Yeah, so I guess that's it.
so we're out of here.
All right. See everybody next week.
Peace.
We're out.